Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, where you can
join serial dater Phil.
That's me. And dating detoxer Liz.
That's me. Welcome to the world of online dating.
What can you expect in the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast?
Dating do's, don'ts and disasters.
What we and our guests would gladly chuck in the 2020 dating bin to be gone forever.
What real people really think about those tricky dating dilemmas.
Awesome dating trivia. You'll never know when it'll come in handy for that pub quiz.
Top tips and tricks from our awesome guest experts, who luckily know a little more about dating than we do.
So if you've ever had a dating disaster,
ignored the red flags,
is your dating life less successful than chances of the Disney villains ever winning,
then you're in the right place. Do we know what we're talking about? No! Our dating lives are both utter shite. So join us as we talk all things dating. The good, the bad, and the... Sorry, there's just no spark.
Hi, and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil, she's Liz, and today we'll be talking about did Disney ruin our dating dream and toxic people. I've tried
toxic
to record this three times now.
Phil keeps saying toxic masculinity. Masculine toxicity.
Yeah. So,
toxic masculinity.
No. We're moving on from that. So, also, and at the end, we'll talk about virtual speed dating.
Mm. But
not until the end. We'll
need to
end
get the lowdown.
Yeah. How's your week been this week?
It has been okay. Like, I haven't been very well. And then the fact that I haven't been very well meant that I can exercise. And I know that when I don't exercise, I feel like poop. So, yeah, not my finest hour, but, you know, nothing to worry about. How about you?
Me? Mine's been pretty good, actually. Yeah, it's been a good week. But we'll find out more about that later.
I look forward to hearing about it.
So, we're going to start with a bit of Disney. Did you watch Disney?
I watched a lot of Disney. I'm one of four girls, so there was a lot of Disney going on in our household.
Like, literally, I still watch Disney today. I use my son as an excuse to watch it, but secretly, when he's not around, I'll still watch it. So,
for sure. What's your favourite one? I feel like I need this up front, because I feel like it's going to tell me a lot about, like, what kind of Disney fan you are.
I like all Disney films. Oh, this is going to ruin the people who have spoken, but The Lion King is my favourite.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you know Lion King is based on Hamlet?
Wow, I didn't know that. How interesting.
Apart from the lions don't die, everyone doesn't die at the end, like in Hamlet. But yeah,
fair point.
About dating and Disney. Now, you know I've wanted to do this for a really long time. Like, I think since we started, I wanted to talk about it.
This is one of the first conversations that we had, actually. After we agreed that I would be the co-host, there was an evening where you sent me, like, 20 or maybe 25 voice notes, which will go down in history of the night of the voice notes. And I remember, specifically remember us talking about Disney then and the weird precedent about dating and relationships, which has been set by Disney, right?
Yeah. So, for an example, Beauty and the Beast. It's like Stockholm Syndrome. That's basically
what
Mel
got. Weird going on.
Disney sets the point that love makes everything better.
Yeah, well, the getting married is always the end point, right? So stuff happens and it's interesting, then you get married, done.
And the thing is, we never know what happens after the happily ever after, apart from when they bring out a rubbish number two version.
Sequel.
Where, like, the princesses have had children and the children are going through all this and then some other examples. Aladdin.
Well, the entire basis of their relationship is built on lies and impersonation and being someone that you aren't to try and impress somebody. So that's great. Little Mermaid is particularly concerning for me because she's definitely a minor and she also can't communicate. So if there's like a vulnerable person being taken advantage of by a much older male who then ditches her for somebody who's uncannily alike, then I feel like there are some red flags here.
I mean, the voice. It was just the voice. Like, literally, this Ariel saved his life. Then he went for the girl with black hair, not red hair. And
is a babe, though. Can I just say that? Ursula, when she's a human, is fit. Can we all just all agree that?
Well, when she's got Ariel's voice as well.
Yeah. She's a badass and she's fit. She might be very slightly evil, tiny bit, but she's definitely a babe.
Okay, can you name two films that basically consent is not agreed to?
Definitely Sleeping Beauty. I mean, she's unconscious.
Yep. And think of another unconscious one.
Give me a clue.
Hi ho, hi ho.
Oh, Snow White. Yeah,
obviously. Yeah, she's asleep in the glass coffin at the end, isn't she, after she's had the apple?
Oh, God, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's not great. Do you know what I did appreciate is Frozen. I really liked the twist that, you know, she falls in love with this guy. Oh, look, it's perfect. Oh, wait, no, he's awful.
Moana was good because there was no guys involved in love or anything like that.
About how cool was The Rock in Moana?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, if there was a substitute for a love interest, it's The Rock's character. But yeah, like, how nice to have a storyline that isn't about finding a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, let's go to Cinderella, because you spend the whole night dancing with a girl. She runs off. You find a shoe.
Can't remember who she actually is. To me, this is like the ideal representation of like not recognizing a girl when she's not wearing makeup. Like, oh, you liked her when she was in a ball gown. Yeah, but you didn't recognize her when she's cleaning the floor. Funny that.
But he didn't even go around himself. He sent like one of his servants to go around the kingdom. And you're Rude. Telling me that she either had incredibly small feet... because nobody else in that whole kingdom had the same shoe size as her.
That is unusual, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's not the weirdest thing about it, but it's definitely unusual.
But yeah, it's Disney just gave this message that love just happens. You're walking along one day, all of a sudden you see your handsome prince, and it's like, look.
I think the other thing of concern is that the marriages seem to happen when they don't really know each other at all. We seem to skip, like, it's all about the like meeting and like being wow struck. And I feel like maybe that's a problem that I have now, because when I meet somebody, if I'm not wow struck, I don't even know if that's a word, by the way, I'm using it, if I don't feel that like haha kind of feeling, then I'm like, no. And for me, maybe that's what I label as we didn't have any chemistry or there was no spark, when actually it probably could grow over time. Mm-hmm. But because I'm expecting some massive, impactful thing to happen, there everything else is, yeah, or like, so at least some cool music, stirring Disney music. And when that doesn't happen, you're like, no, this can't be it. But maybe mm-hmm. it is it. Maybe it just takes a while to develop, you know?
Yeah, you want to hear a bit of Sebastian going, sha-la-la-la-la-la-la, don't be shy. Kiss the girl, yeah, yeah.
You have a lovely singing voice.
Yes. Yeah, it also says that love will accommodate all of your flaws. So mm-hmm. as we were saying before about the lying, everything like that, it's like, oh, yeah, just lie away. Base the relationship on a lie.
If we look, there's like a weird power dynamic going on, particularly financially.
Mm-hmm.
So Beauty and the Beast. Belle lives in a fairly modest farming town.
Little French village,
Beast is obviously a prince, lives in a massive castle. Snow White, where although she is a princess, she's living in a house share, fundamentally. Mm-hmm. when the prince comes to find her. Obviously Cinderella, he's a prince, mm-hmm. she's cleaning floors. I feel like in a lot of these situations, the reason it all works out and she no longer has to clean the floor is because she gets to go and live with him in his big palace. And yeah. I feel like this is not sending great messages about a woman's ability to solve her own problems and be financially independent.
It's all about the man saving the day. The man will come and save you at the last minute.
That is it. And I was thinking about this not just in relation to Disney, actually. I was thinking about it in rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously every film by its very nature has like a storyline arc, right? So you have like the exciting bit at the beginning, and then there's some sort of conflict or problem which is somehow resolved at the end, because that's how storylines work. And what I realize is that what always happens is they meet, something goes wrong, they have an argument, and then they resolve it and are together, except for the film The Breakup, which I actually really respect for that reason. But I feel like the model that has created is to basically make you put up with shit because it will probably work out all right, and to kind of assume that the crap that you go through in a relationship is normal, because that's what happens in every version of every relationship that you've seen. And that's not to say that conflict isn't normal. Like, of course it is. There'll be tricky bit.
The film industry has made romance and dating not exactly how it should be.
There's some big drama and you're like, oh yeah, this is part and parcel, but is it? And like, I get that there has to be some sort of drama because that's what makes a storyline interesting. But I feel there's probably only a handful of films where I feel like somebody actually assert some reasonable boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've gone off Disney. Sorry, I'm off on one.
It's fine.
I don't know if you've seen a film called How to Be Single.
Oh, is that with Rebel?
Yeah, it's got Rebel Wilson. It's got Alison Brie at Community and lots of other things. And it's got the girl whose name I can't remember that was in 50 Shades of Grey. There's a really interesting bit in that film, spoiler alert, meep meep, where there's like this guy that you're following is quite a main character, and he eventually decides that he's into this girl, and you kind of think they're going to get together, and you're kind of semi-rooting for it because she was really into him at the start and he didn't want it. And then he turns around to her at some point in the film and is like, oh, you know, declares his undying love for her. And she's like, no, obviously. Like, and she's got together with somebody else. And I wanted to like, yay, at the telly when I saw it, because I was like, well, thanks God for that, because it's not like, oh, there's problems, she wants him and he doesn't want her and da da da, and now they want each other and they're gonna get together. Like, he was definitely too late and or completely emotionally inept, and she recognized that and was like, no thanks.
This segment is called The People Have Spoken. Well, you've spoken, if you're an Instagram follower, that is. So, every Wednesday, we ask some questions and get your answers. Then we discuss. Here's the part of the show, The People Have Spoken. And now we've asked you quite a lot of questions on this last Wednesday. And do you know what? Thank you everyone for answering it, because it always helps us so much. Now, we asked, did you watch Disney as a child/adult? Take a guess, because I was shocked at this slightly.
I think it's got to be 100%, though.
No.
What?
91% yes, 9% no. And when I saw that first person put no up, I was like, how have you never watched Disney?
How? I mean, maybe
these
it's
people
great.
Are probably happily married in relationships and no problems or issues in life at all. It's probably just
not at all disappointed with the lack of handsome prince who's turned up to rescue them from their boring life.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a handsome prince rescue me.
No,
that's
a shame.
I know. So if we move on, did you ever want to be a Disney princess or prince? Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
Probably Jasmine. She's cool. She's got a tiger. Like, who's a pet tiger? That's wicked.
Exactly. And she lives in Agrabah.
I could slightly identify with the Little Mermaid, because I'm one of four girls. And, you know, she's got like a zillion sisters and they all do this like musical number at the start.
She's got seven sisters because it's named after the seven seas. There's meant to be seven seas or six sisters,
But, okay, interesting. Yeah. You are full of Disney trivia.
I love Disney. So don't hate on us, by the way, because somebody said, oh, yeah, you can do about Disney. You're going to get all the Disney people hating on you. Don't hate on us.
We're not trash talking. Disney, you know, for sure it has its place. It's brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. I just feel like there are some limitations in its perception of relationships, like big times. There's a lot of like weird codependency and abuse stuff going on, for sure.
Massively. So what percentage do you think wanted to be a prince or a princess?
I would say high. Bearing in mind the people who watched it was 90. I'm going to go 80%.
No.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
No, 60?
Lower.
What? People are lying. Maybe they wanted to be another character, like Sebastian or...
Maybe. Should have put
Maui.
Disney character. 43%.
Oh, okay.
Said they would want to be. Yeah. And then we got onto the films. Your mum answered this one. And she said Pocahontas, which I was like, she was the only one that said Pocahontas.
Oh, but... I know why. She really loves Mel Gibson. She loves Mel Gibson, and Mel Gibson is the voice of John, what's his face?
John Smith.
Yes.
The most generic English name.
A little bit.
Yeah, we had Moana, we had Hercules, Aladdin, Mulan, Little Mermaid, Frozen 2. Someone said Frozen 2. Okay. Finding Nemo. Yes.
Oh, that's a nice one.
We'll move on to the not-so-nice fluffy stuff when we go to toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we asked the question, have you ever been in a toxic relationship? What percentage do you reckon is going on here?
I would say a lot. I think particularly given the nature of our listeners, I would say that most of our listeners will have been in a relationship that they would consider toxic.
Yeah, 83% said yes, 17% said no, they haven't. Who was the toxic partner? And I gave options on this. Them, yourself, or there was a way to put both if you slid the slider up. Now, didn't get percentages on this. 46 people answered that it was the partner. One person said it was them. So you know what? It takes a lot to say that it was you. And then we had 12 people that said both.
To be fair, I think a lot of people, probably myself included, your initial reaction is to say them. But actually, if you take some time to think about it, it's both. Because even if you think back, it might have been the other person's behaviour that you would consider toxic. But I would recognise, for example, that I had enabled that behaviour in some ways, in which case it's essentially both.
Yeah, in some circumstances, it's both.
There were some definite patterns, weren't there, in what came out. I think key stuff that came up a lot was to do with jealousy, being controlling. There were some instances that mentioned cheating or in some instances kind of abusive behaviour. But yeah, quite a lot of it was to do with gaslighting. Gaslighting was mentioned quite a lot. And I know that we've spoken about gaslighting before, but I guess one of the things that makes a relationship toxic is the inability to recognize each other's experience. And so by the nature of it, gaslighting will come up, because that is where somebody is expressing their experience and that experience is being questioned or undermined or corrected by somebody else to say that it was not really real or not how it happened. But yeah, quite a lot of it was to do with kind of control and jealousy, and narcissism came up a few times.
Toxicity in general, it's...
Yeah. I think when I think about my own relationships that I would consider toxic, I mean, I've definitely been in relationships which just weren't working, which is why mm-hmm. they ended. But if I think further back to a relationship in my early 20s, which I would definitely have considered toxic, I guess, like, mentally, you probably have, or most people have, a remit of what they would consider to be acceptable behaviour from another mm-hmm. person in a relationship. And then the remit, what is past the line in terms of how it's appropriate to behave in a relationship. And in my own understanding, a toxic relationship is one where somebody is repeatedly crossing the line of what you believe to be appropriate behavior, or behaving outside the remit of what you would consider to be acceptable behavior,
yeah,
in a way which has a very damaging effect on the well-being of the people in the relationship. I watched a video the other day by Mark Groves. I don't know if you follow him. He's his Instagram account is something like Create the Love, and he's an American guy. I quite like his content. And I watched a really interesting video of his, which, so people send in questions. And the question that had been sent in, the guy I'm dating has started being really distant and cold. What should I do? And Mark Gross's response was, "You're asking the wrong question. Stop asking why they're behaving like that and start asking why you are still showing up for it." Yes. And I had this like epiphany moment. Yeah, because the only reason somebody can behave like that is because you keep turning up to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that when you look back on a toxic relationship, so if I think about this one in my early 20s, the guy was extremely jealous, had very severe anger problems which were directed at me. He would grill me about previous sexual partners and demand to know all of the details on the basis that it would make him feel better. And then, foolishly, when I gave any information whatsoever to try and pacify him, he would use it to berate me for literally hours, like proper, like, neighbours calling the police scenario we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And retrospectively, you know, when you're like, why was I in that relationship? Like, what? Why did I keep answering the door to him? Why did, what?
I mean, I think a lot of it is the rose-tinted glasses, or seeing the house, not seeing the house burn down around you, but everyone yeah. else can see it, you know. And that's the problem with some of these situations. You don't leave because you're in that situation, but you don't realise how bad it is until yeah. the point where it pushes you over the edge and that's it. You've then got to leave.
And I think in order to remain in a relationship like that, you have to see something in the other person, right? Otherwise, mm-hmm. why would you be there? But I think there's definitely something about, like, in that relationship, I can see that I was really blinded by what I thought was the potential of the relationship. Like, I could see that if he could just deal with this issue, we could have the most wonderful relationship, because when he was not awful, he was really wonderful. And I think I was so fixated on the potential, I just really wasn't looking at the reality of the day-to-day experience of the relationship. And I feel like that is now something that I use as a bit of a litmus test. Like, what is my day-to-day experience of this relationship? Is it overwhelmingly positive with the odd, like, niggle? Is it 50-50? is it 50-50, but only because I'm biting my tongue the whole time to try and keep mm-hmm. the peace? Sense of what they're willing to accept as well. Like some people, probably maybe myself included, if most of it was wonderful, would put up with some shit.
Yeah.
Some other people would prefer to not put up with any shit, but maybe would tolerate it being a bit less wonderful, like something that's a bit more in between. Like, mm-hmm. and I feel like the only person who can decide what level of essentially drama you're willing to put up with for the benefit is you. But I feel like yeah. I've definitely put up with way more drama than I should have done because I was trying to fixate on the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone's been there, everyone's done that. Everyone's got a little bit wiser from it, hopefully,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they see the signs.
Dating disasters.
This segment is called Dating Disasters because, let's face it, we've all had them. And this week, because it's me and Liz, it's either one of ours or one of yours. And if you want to send one in, then you know what to do.
Dating disasters.
Yes, do it. Tell me.
Okay. Tell you all about the dating disasters.
Yeah, okay. Because I really like that today you're going to share one of yours, Phil. And I really especially like that it's vaguely related to Disney.
It is, because I actually went to Disney when I got there. Disneyland.
Okay, start at the beginning.
Start at the beginning. So I need to take you back. Quite far back to a magical time where no.
Is this the beginning of Aladdin?
No. So basically, I was on this website, dating website called Date British Guys. So
right.
where girls all over the world wanted to date British guys. So right. it made me feel like from Hugh Grant to Brad Pitt, you know. And I matched with somebody, started talking to them. And yeah, we Skyped a couple of times for a few months. And then it was that whole one of us is going to have to fly over one way or the other. Now, she lived over in San Diego.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the trip. So
wow.
First time flying solo. Mm-hmm. Like I went on holidays with partners and family and stuff like that. But first time flying solo, first time to America.
Wow. So, that's a big flight to do by yourself for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. So got down to Heathrow. There was a mix up with the tickets. They were saying that I was paying for a child ticket. And I was like, no, I've got the emails here because I wanted to check that. So that's part one that went wrong. Got on the plane, you know that awkward moment where like you're like, have I packed something that I didn't realize, you know, like yeah. did I have a kilo of coke even though I've never actually taken coke in my life, you know. That moment
security panic even when you've yeah. done nothing wrong. A bit like when there's a police car driving behind you and you're like, oh shit, no, what, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a very British thing, isn't it?
I don't want to be in trouble.
So had a nice, lovely flight over there with meals, soft drinks, everything like that. I watched a film on the little headset at the back. I was really excited. Landed in Chicago, which they had this amazing toilet thing. So you sat on the toilet and it had like, it's not environmentally friendly, but they had a plastic ring okay. around the toilet, so you always sat on a clean seat, so as that's soon as nice. You got up it flushed itself, so I was like
I feel like the fact that you've told me quite a lot about the plane journey and the toilet
yeah
means that the whatever happened subsequently is not that great, because I feel like your memory has conveniently remembered these highlights like the toilet because something went wrong. Am I reading
okay.
that right?
Okay, so from Chicago, got to San Diego, got off the plane, all excited, got to the conveyor belt that happened to be right near the door, which I was like, anyone could steal your luggage. But got my luggage off, waiting for the person. Person wasn't there. Mm. I was like, I've just been on a solo flight. Like,
for how long? Like, how long was the flight? With the transfer?
Well, yeah. What was it? It was about 12, maybe 12 hours.
And you were willing to meet her fresh off the plane. You're brave. I would have at least wanted yeah. to go and take a shower.
I was stopping at her house anyway. So this is
wow.
So it was proper home alone. It was a proper Home Alone moment. Like,
yeah, but also, I mean, we've talked before about not doing dates at people's houses because it's a big commitment to just be at somebody's house. It's a big commitment to just stay at somebody's house and you've never met them before and you've flown across the world.
I think it was about 6,000 miles, something like that. So,
And you're going to stay at her house?
Okay. Yeah, I would. Yeah. Don't do this, people. Don't do this. Book a hotel because, like, I was there, home alone moment, like, oh, what's going on? Do I get back on the plane? How do I do this?
No, she just didn't show up. What?
So I happened to have some coins in my pocket because my uncle gave me some travel to America quite a few times. So, you know, normally you get notes. So fortunately, I had some coins, which were a pain in the arse at security. But yeah, so put them in, rang. No answer. I was like, what? Put it down, rang again. And then, fortunately, she picked up and says, oh, yeah, the closest car parking lot is shut. The nearest one's like half a mile away, so I'm just driving around outside. So, thankfully, there was a bit of a happy ending. Because, yeah, when we had fun, we went to Disneyland, which was amazing.
Wow.
And, yeah, now... Wait, what? Wait, what?
I was going to say, like, this is like temporary disaster when she didn't show at the airport, but it feels like this isn't fully a disaster.
No, it is, because it ended in a disaster. And
okay. And, so what happened after this, it's a disaster, right?
just a lot of problems with her ex. Well, she was still married at the time. He was in the Navy or something, but they were separated, etc. She had an ex-fiancé who she was a fiancé to after she split.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was a psychopath. He, like, looked up my address, says, oh, I've got your address, come over to... He was still in love with her, massively. And I couldn't deal with that. I was
this is messy. This sounds complicated. I'm not up for this.
She was still best friends with her. Anyway, long story short, basically, she ended up meeting somebody over here. She lives in London now. She's married, kids, everything like that. So,
moral of the story, America is far to go for a date.
That was the first date.
Number two, book a hotel, guys. Number three, don't get involved with somebody who's got a psychotic ex who they're still best mates with. No.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Yeah, just say no. Just say no, kids.
Just say no and save your money and stay at home and find a very small screen and some crap food so that you can replicate the experience of being on a flight.
So this is going to be a bit of a longer episode because we've still got a bit more to fit in, but never mind. You guys like listening to our voices and you complain that we don't do them quick enough, so it makes for a longer episode. Listen to it in two parts, it's fine.
Back to the questions.
Can you answer this?
So this segment is called Back to the Questions, but it's only me and Liz, so it's just us talking about the same things we were talking about before, but we just needed to split up with a segment. So if you needed a toilet break, too late. Now we're going on to toxic masculinity. Yes, I got
you did it
right.
You did it.
Now, this came about because I was on an app called Stereo, listening to two female hosts talk about hookups and everything like this. And basically what happened is they said a girl slept with 30 guys. And what would you feel about that? And there was loads and loads of men that came on saying, no, the perfect number's zero. The perfect number's this. They shouldn't sleep with anybody. They shouldn't do that. And it got me really, really annoyed. So I thought we'd do an episode about it. Or part of an episode. So, yeah, I replied to them going, unless it's for religious purposes, I think you're going to struggle to find anybody that hasn't slept with anybody.
Unless they're a minor.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hear that's frowned upon.
Massively. Then I said, take a look at yourself. If you're not zero, then don't be looking for zero because you're not leading by
It's just the weird way that we view sex. Like, there's something weird about the concept of losing your virginity. Like, that's fundamentally a weird concept because the inference is that doing this thing permanently alters your state of being, and that you have this revered status which you lose irrevocably when you have sex. And that kind of thing is not attached to anything else. Like, there's no name for when you eat your first Chinese takeaway, and there's no name for when you play your first basketball match. Like, there is no other physical act that I can think of which permanently changes your perceived state of being, and that is a specifically which is associated with the loss of a something.
It's winning your sexuality.
Well, yeah, but I feel like because of that, because of this sense that having sex permanently alters you in some way, that's where a lot of issues with jealousy and number of sexual partners come from, because it's this idea that when you have sex with somebody, they change you, or they leave some permanent mark on you, or like the number of sexual partners I've had is no more relevant than the times I've eaten an Indian or taken a poop. Like,
yeah,
it's not anything. Like, unless I've got an STI, which I haven't because I've checked, there is no reason for my future partner to be remotely interested in my previous sexual experiences, because it's nothing to do with them. And I don't have to tell them that. And I feel like that's something that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Is this idea of like whether like somebody known your number, like what? Do you want to know how many times I've cut my toenails or how many times I've got a haircut?
Well, I said back to these people, I said, right, let's take it that this girl's 30, slept with 30 girls. And let's say she first had sex.
The girl's 30 and she slept with 30 girls. She's had a fun
time. She might have done. She might have done. Or 30
good
people.
For her.
Okay. 30 men. Okay. And she first slept with someone when she was 16. Mm-hmm. That would only be
two a year.
Which
is like, how many?
Yeah, exactly. So people, men need to stop judging.
There's also something about the heteronormative nature of viewing sex in that way, because by, you know, like, I don't want to be too graphic because my mum listens and I don't want to make her blush, but okay, are we only counting penis and vagina sex when we're talking about this? Because how on earth does a homosexual person classify their sexual experiences, or a bisexual or a pansexual person classify their sexual experiences? Because if it's not pee in the vagi, what are we counting and what are we not counting? Because if you want to know the people I've had penetrative sex with, it's going to be a different number to the people that I've had some sexual contact that's more than kissing with, for example. So I feel like that is reinforcing the idea that the only sex that counts is penetrative sex, for starters, which just, hello, can we just acknowledge the non-heterosexual community, please? Mm-hmm. And I also feel like that there's just something that just makes me really uncomfortable about the idea that you are a certain type of person because you have a lot of, like, it's completely non-contextual, because you could take somebody who's had 30 sexual partners, but they've been single since they were 16, that's 2 a year. Mm-hmm. Or you could take somebody who's 30 who's been in long-term relationships for 10 years, so have knocked through that 29 in, 5 years? Like, it's completely contextual. And also, there is no right number. Like, I'm still a good person and I could have sex with a different person every night of the week. And as long as it's consensual and we're all getting our rocks off, who actually cares?
So here's the thing, something that I've just actually realised that somebody said to me once, that if a girl slept with zero people, then it's like, oh my God, amazing. If they slept with one, they are then sexually inexperienced.
Yeah, but I don't know why zero would be amazing. Like, what is it that's good about that? Because they're probably, it's probably not going to be that enjoyable an experience, because the first time you do anything is kind of a mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean literally a mess. That's gross. That's really graphic. But I mean, I would rather objectively sleep with somebody who slept with some people, because they probably have some sense of what women like in bed, right?
Yeah.
I think there's also something about what you're looking for, right? Because if you are looking to settle down and you know that somebody has slept with literally hundreds of people, maybe you can determine something about them and their priorities. No, I mean, not necessarily, because like we've had a guest on who was like basically said, like, I have absolutely lanced the entire population, but now would be open to settling down with somebody, which, you know, people change, right? But I also think it depends what you're looking for. Like, I don't know, I've had an experience before where I hooked up with a guy, and I knew that he was clearly had a lot of sex. I mean, mm-hmm. I won't go into the specifics, but he clearly had a lot of sex with a lot of different women. And I was like, good for you. I'm really pleased for you. Do you know I'm really pleased for you? Because it's really great for me, because you know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
If I was looking for somebody to settle down with, maybe such strong indicators that he had a lot of sex with a lot of different women might be, I might feel slightly differently. But then it depends, you know, if he's actually looking for somebody to settle down with, what's it actually matter?
I mean, people have got different perceptions of what a lot of people are. Like, literally, there's celebrities out there, well, celebrities in the loosest
quote unquote,
term of the word, that have slept with hundreds or thousands of females. And then other people that have slept with 60, 30, 10. It doesn't matter. It's just a number. And this leads me on to my other point, because I saw a post last week regarding the contraception. Mm. And now I saw a lot of replies on this post, basically guys going, da, 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 like going off on one. But me, as a man, I would totally be in favour of contraception for men, like a pill or something like that. Because how I look at it is, if I slept with 90 women in 9 months, I could effectively get those 90 women pregnant. Yep. If a woman slept with 90 men in 9 months, mm-hmm. she can only get pregnant one time.
You're the liability here, mm-hmm. not the women.
I put my hands up, totally. I put my hands up, and do you know what? If there was something out there, then yeah, I'll take it. Not a vasectomy, because it says it's reversible,
kind of serious,
but it's, yeah. So I just wanted to get on that point.
Well, but also that logic doesn't really hold. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, because if you have sex with 90 women and you're on a male contraceptive, sure, you won't get them pregnant, but you're probably going to give a lot of them an STI, because you're pretty good chance you're going to pick one up from one of those 90 women and pass it on to the other 89 of the women, right? So I have this real bugbear, right, about contraception, because getting pregnant is not the problem here.
No.
Getting HIV is actually the problem here. And honestly, for me, I'm being quite serious here. If a guy tries to come at me without a condom, he's getting kicked out of my fucking house, because I find it abhorrent that somebody is willing to put me at that amount of risk. And that it's my... I'm sorry, I'm on a proper soapbox moment here. And that it's my responsibility as the woman to say, no thanks, you need to wrap that up. Mm-hmm. And not his responsibility as the owner of the penis to put a condom on it. Like, grow the hell up, please, men. This happens a lot. Like, this is so common that a woman has to say, can you put a condom on, please? And it's
how
gross.
Quite a lot of men expect women to provide the condom.
It's and get shitty about it. Like there's a lot of times, and not just in my experience, in other women's experience, where a guy is asked to put a condom on, and it's like, fucking, like, no, grow up, please. Mm-hmm. It's grim. Like, if you don't come with one, then you're being a dick, literally. And if you are shitty about it, like, what fucking planet are you on? Like, you don't deserve to be having sex with somebody if you're not willing to protect them and yourself.
Not at all.
Also, like, just while we're here.
Yep.
Just while we're,
while on this soapbox.
While I'm, like, dialed up to 20 on the intensity scale. Getting tested for STIs is now so straightforward. Mm-hmm. Like, you can literally order a test online that is literally posted to your house, where you literally squeeze some drops of blood into a tiny tube and put it in the post, and a few days later they send you a text message. Like, that's how straightforward this is now. Like, the wonders of modern technology. Mm-hmm. In a lot of geographical locations it's free. We'll put the links to this on Instagram, because I think it is important. A lot of these tests are free if you live in certain locations, and if not, you just have to basically pay for the cost of the test. I think I got like a full checkup, and it cost me like, I don't know, 40 quid. Yeah. And you can get HIV tests entirely free, where you literally prick your finger with a tiny little like blibby thing and squeeze, yes, that's a real name, and squeeze it into a tiny tube and put it in the post. Like, can we just all take a bit more responsibility, please?
Yeah, because there's always been that stigma around, because the gum clinic, as they call it.
And that's the humiliating experience, right? Yeah. Going and sitting there, and they're really depressing, and you have to have like somebody poke around in your bits. That's not, you don't even have to do that now. You can do it in the comfort of your own bathroom.
Exactly. So we will put links up.
We will, but to recap, the reason I started off on this massive rant is pregnancy is not the problem here. Like, when we think about contraception, we're just talking about pregnancy, and a guy goes, "Oh, you're on the pill," and I go, "Yes, I am, but it's none of your fucking business. Put a condom on."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The end. The end.
On to that, we're just going to move quickly on to, do you think the amount of people someone has slept with matters?
No, of course it doesn't.
What percentage?
70? Said no, I'm saying.
No, 91 said
good,
no.
Oh, good, good. That's restored my faith in the human population, to be fair. It must just be the guys that I've dated who are obsessed with it.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. We've got ours. Are you worried about the number of people you've slept with?
No.
So what percentage?
I would say that most people aren't worried. I'd say 90 or 95% aren't worried.
92%. So that means 8% are worried about
it. I'm worried. That's interesting. I wonder, I'd be interested to know why.
That is it for all the questions.
Are you worried about the number of sexual partners you've had, Phil?
No, I'm not worried at all. I seriously, I get tested. And do you know what? It's like, does it matter? It doesn't matter, because it doesn't, it's not like my lifeblood is drained every time I come inside somebody, you know, or come into a condom.
That's graphic. That's so graphic.
Yeah, you said come quite a lot, but not in that meaning. Yeah. You said if a guy comes at me without a condom. Seriously, you said come quite a lot, and that's why I was smirking.
With an O. With an O.
Well, if you get an O, it's fine, you know, the bigger.
I appreciate you being so open, Phil. As you rightly said, if you come inside somebody, your lifeblood is not drained out, and you don't leave them with a permanent mark unless it's a child.
Yeah.
I don't mean to describe children as a permanent mark. That's weird. Sorry. No. Sorry, no. Children. Apologies.
Apologies.
We are going to move on, but I've got a tiny bit of rant left, and I feel like I need to get it out. I feel like there's something very important in being able to assert a boundary that says, I don't want to talk about my previous sexual partners.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's, for some reason, in relationships or when you're dating, for some reason, it's seen as okay for somebody to ask about the number of sexual partners that you've had and for you to be expected to tell them. Like, this came up in a TV show that I watch called The Bold Type, which I really love the show. It deals with some amazing issues. But there was this big thing about number of sexual partners, and this person was just really like, found it very oddly secretive that the other person didn't want to tell them, and like made inferences about what that mean, and it must mean that it's loads, because if you don't want to tell me, you're clearly trying to hide something, and blah blah blah. Like, can I just say for the record, my opinion is that you do not have to divulge any information about yourself that you don't want to divulge, unless it will put somebody else at harm. So there's certain things that you're obliged to tell somebody. These include having a communicable disease, possibly something which might affect their safety, like having been in prison. That's mostly it, in my opinion. But certainly you're not under any obligation to discuss the number of sexual partners that you've had. That is a private matter. And like I said, nobody has a right to know what my sexual history is. Because you date me, that doesn't give you automatic right to grill me about my past sexual experiences. No. And I feel like, can we just stop normalizing that discussion and make it so that if you want to talk about it, for sure, talk about it. But if you don't, then it's your right to privacy. Like, I don't have to tell someone I'm dating about my entire medical history, do I? Because it's none of their business. Likewise, no. I don't need to tell them about my sexual history. And I am somebody who would just rather not know stuff. Like, I don't want to know. If I'm dating somebody, I don't want to know. Well, yeah, for sure. Like, if I'm likely to go into anaphylaxis and need to carry an EpiPen, I should probably tell somebody for my own safety. Yeah. But other than that, like, I don't need to tell somebody personal, private matters that don't affect them at all. Nope. And I feel like there's this weird social standard where it's expected that you're willing to talk about it. And I just feel like, no, you don't have any right to know those things. I'd stop asking me.
Exactly. So, on that
anyway,
note...
the rant is definitely finished now. It's over.
Shall we move on to...
This segment is called the 2020 bin, basically the modern room 101. So this week, because it's just me and Liz, we've had a listener give us an entry for the bin and the reason why.
2020 bin.
Oh yeah.
This week we've had one of our listeners message. Whee! So we need to decide. Guys that write their love language is anything other than actual love languages. So, e.g., my love language, my love language is kissing and holding hands. My love language is walks on the beach and dogs.
No. These guys have not read the love languages book.
Yeah.
There are five and they've got specific names. You can't just make up some shit you like doing and call it a love language, because the guy who probably patented or at least invented love languages is like getting really uncomfortable.
Yeah, massively.
I think that's fair. I think
this person was like, what the fuck? What the fuck, Simon? It's clear you have no idea what love languages are. And you just made up some shit.
Simon.
It's like, Google. His name might not be Simon. I don't know.
No, I like it. I feel like Simon is the equivalent to Karen. It's just like represents all like doofy guys.
Sorry to all Simons out there.
Sorry Simons and Karens.
Simon did not say that.
For reference, for anyone who's not familiar, the love languages, there are five of them. They're invented by some clever doctor guy who's American. They are words of affirmation, saying nice shit, physical touch, touching and shit, gifts, don't feel like I need to give an explanation of that, quality time, and acts of service, doing nice shit for people. So unless it's one of those five, don't write it down. And walks on the beach just isn't one.
I've just googled it and somebody's created two more, but it looks rubbish, so we're not listening to that. We're sticking with the five.
OG five.
Yes. And guess what?
What?
Simon, you're going in the bin.
Simon, get in the bin.
Hands.
Back to the questions.
Where am I? Who are you people?
So again, it's just me and Liz talking, as before. But we wanted that little jingle to get in your head. And if you still haven't gone to the toilet, then you're still too late.
Okay, so, Bill, I've been waiting for this for the whole episode, but we need to hear about the virtual speed dating. I want to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, and how you rated it.
It was all right. No, I'm joking. I got more than that.
It's a really short segment.
So I really enjoyed it. It's brand new and it actually needs people to turn up to it, because that was one of the issues. Uh-huh. There was 10 people that I potentially was going to date. It came up with their name that they put in, just their first name, their age and how far away they were. Uh-huh. And then you could put a little profile picture if you wanted. Uh-huh. And then... as they came online, you basically went into a room automatically. Uh-huh. And then you had 3 minutes. You had a countdown of 3 minutes to
do your thing.
So I created sets of questions. So I had 1 to 6 with 3 questions in each set. So literally I turned around
to
the girl.
This is a good strategy, Phil, because I feel like I would have turned up to it and been like, hi, I'm Liz, I'm living at Nottingham, like, dry. You were prepared. You did your homework.
So I gave them the option of 1 to 6. They picked and we got on and the 3 minutes went really, really quickly. Mm. And it's a little bit funny because one of the girls that was on there, I knew from a Facebook dating group that I was on previously. And yeah, we got chatting and we may have gone on a date.
Oh, I'm like living vicariously through you right now.
And we may have a second date planned.
Oh my God, I'm too excited. I have already bought my hat.
You've already brought your hat.
Yeah.
Slow down, Liz. Slow down.
Not that marriage is the end goal. Backtrack.
No. Backtrack. Stupid Disney. No, we love Disney. Anyway, with that,
yeah.
This next bit, I'm talking to the creators, Adam and Rob, all about it. So
that is super exciting.
Give this bit a listen, and then we'll be back for final thoughts on the end of this.
Ask the creators.
Why did you create this? What is it for? How does it work? Let me know.
This segment is called Ask the Creators, and this week we'll be speaking to the creators and owners of Cameo Dating, a virtual speed dating site with a difference.
So now we are joined by Adam and Rob from Cameo Dating, the virtual speed dating site that I went on. So hi guys.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
How's it going, Phil?
Very well, thank you. So tell me a bit more about Cameo Dating and where the idea came from and what it's all about for those who haven't tried it yet.
Cool. So Cameo came around, it actually launched in February, but it came about during lockdown when I found myself at home, lots of spare time, and I've always wanted to learn web development. So it's always been on the to-do list. So I did a course for about a month learning how to do it, and it just opened a load of doors and ideas for building something that regular people can use. And I've always enjoyed speed dating myself in normal times, going out, and I always found that you get a better sense of the person that you're dating with. So I wanted to try and build a site or a platform that would let people do that virtually from home. So that was sort of the seed of the idea. And it took about 4 months of long days and nights to develop this thing. Also, I wanted it to be customizable. So it wasn't just complete blind date. You could also kind of filter on the sorts of people you wanted to meet with, whether that be based on distance or age or religion and things like that. Because I know that some are more reluctant to try that unless those sort of things are there. And yeah, so 4 months down the road, it turned on in February, and it's been a really interesting ride from effectively a clean sheet to where we are now. Hundreds of people signing up, and we're running events once a week. And the feedback's been great. We've got people coming in all over the world, signing up from Canada, the US, all around Europe, India, Africa. It's quite great to see, and we really believe in this thing. We think that dating on the normal apps just isn't really working anymore. And I think when you speak to people, they all say, you know, I don't enjoy it. It's not a nice experience. I get ghosted. I meet with someone, they didn't look anything like what their picture was like. And I think it's just fueling this sort of throwaway mentality of, this isn't even a person I'm looking at on this app. This is just an image, and people behaving unnaturally. You know, they're just swiping left and right, and you know, if you were in front of a person, you'd never do that in reality. So this is trying to get into the middle ground where it's still efficient, you're still going at speed, and you're able to kind of meet a lot of people in a short space of time for people who are busy, but you're able to get a better idea of the personality, the character, different levels of communication that you just cannot get from an image. And yeah. We're really excited about it, and the community is building slowly, and you know, we're really excited about how it's panning out.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. That's, you know, I really enjoyed the experience. So yeah, Rob, sorry.
It's fine. No, I was going to say, it's quite a funny story actually. So Adam and I have been friends since we were kids. And during the lockdown, we had our Zoom calls, everyone was doing. And this was around February when Cameo just launched. We'd heard nothing about the project. And Adam, working a full-time job, just pops up with and says, all right, everyone, I've made an app, or I've made a website, rather. And we said, okay, you know, what have you done? Expecting it to be like maybe one page or something like that, like a little mini project. And Cameo just popped out, shared it on the screen with us. And I just felt had to get involved. Think back to dates where you've been catfished, you've been no-showed, you've just not got on with them. There's so many people who are sitting there and just the way dating is, it's tricky, it's hard. And I just think there was an opportunity to connect with a load of people. But yeah, funny how Adam just casually popped up.
Just like, yeah. look what I've made. And do you know what? I love the dashboard. I do. I love the way that you wait in and then it's like, so-and-so is coming up next. And then all of a sudden pops up timer and you're like, yeah. Like, you do connect with people on a different level. I mean, I've done video chats with people before, but I still don't feel that that's the same as this. This has got something a bit extra about it. And like you say, I do feel the old sites are stale. Do you want to tell everybody a bit about how they can sign up and what they can do and how it all works?
Yeah, so sure. If you go to cameo.co.uk, and it's spelled K-A-M-I-O, it's got all the information there about how it works. You basically will click on like a sign up button and you fill in a very short form, name, phone number, email address, and a bit about the sorts of people you'd like to meet. And then if you sign up for an event, which we're holding once a week, whichever one suits your diary best, basically, then that will be on that day. You sign onto the website, and you'll have like a dashboard, as Phil was saying, that shows you everybody that you're planned to meet with. And then at the time of the event, it will put you into chat rooms automatically. So there's no kind of link to a Zoom or a Google Meetups. This is all integrated in one place. It's just one website. You don't need to download any special equipment or anything. Just need a camera on your device and some decent internet. And then just get comfortable and it will kind of automatically schedule the dates and put you into the rooms. You have 3 minutes per date. So you'll see that ticking down and you have the full screen experience. So it kind of immerses you as if you really are sitting in front of the person. If you like them, there's an option to like them live in the date or afterwards if you on reflection. If it's not going well, which is always possible, you can actually just jump out of the chat, no problems at all. And then, you know, in the ideal sense, if you both like each other, it'll exchange some contact details that you've elected to share before the event begins. So that's generally how it works.
Yeah, it seems like a smart way of dating. It's the smart way of dating, isn't it? You don't have to go out. You don't have to. I got dressed up. I mean, from camera below, like, I can't say, but no, I had clothes on. But yeah, it's that case of, for the busy person, it's a case of like, you can meet plenty of people in a short amount of time. And it like I say, it just seems like a great experience. And I definitely enjoyed it.
The slogan is meet before you meet. So whilst you can do this from home, we're not saying you just stay at home, right? This is about ultimately meeting someone who you have chemistry with. That's what we're all about. We're spending hours of our lives, you know, almost like zombies in the end. You're just like in bed, half asleep, swiping, like, please, I need someone to match with me. I want to meet someone. But actually, quality is the key. So we want to make sure there's chemistry there. And then you go and meet with the person when you're comfortable to do so.
How many people have missed the love of their lives because they didn't like the way they were posing in a photo, or they didn't have a very good icebreaker one-liner as part of their thing? And also, some of the one-liners you see on the apps, like, how many people would go and use that in a live environment? It just wouldn't happen. And it kind of touches a little bit on the point that Wags made earlier about the community. Once you sign up, you're a part of the community. So we're going to be building out content as a part of the blog. We want people to be really respectful. We want everyone to have fun. It's got to be good, healthy fun. That's the whole idea, the whole concept. So we do encourage our users to be as respectful as possible. And we'll just be bringing out a whole load of tips, tricks and bits and pieces just to make dating easier, really. We want to help.
See, that's amazing. Now, I'm going to give you a fact that came up on an episode before, which I think you guys are really going to like. But it's 80% of women on, this is on Tinder, 80% of women only swipe for 20% of men. So therefore, 80% of men only get swiped with the 20% of women. So therefore, your platform is opening it up for these people that would often get swiped left on just because they can't write a profile, just because they can't pick the right photo, like you say. So it is really opening it up where you can meet anybody. I mean, I met some amazing people when I did it. And you know what? Those people on dating apps, I would have probably, I don't know. I don't know whether I'd have spoken to, but speaking to them and actually listening to them and hearing their conversation, I was like, yeah, these people are cool.
100%. It's so much more pleasant as an experience, even if you don't fancy the person in the end, no harm done. But how much nicer is it to have a live conversation, learn something about the person, maybe learn something about yourself and what you're actually looking for, having had some conversations. It's a good way of kind of building up your own confidence and testing things out. And, you know, yes, you can fail, but it's 3 minutes and you move on. You may never need to speak to each other ever again. Yep. So it's just a generally more pleasant experience, as we think.
Because there's such a huge amount of value to just connecting with someone. It actually doesn't matter what the end product is. Great if you find the love of your life, fantastic. But just that ability to talk to someone, connect. Again, like you touched on, maybe people you've not met or wouldn't usually knock around within the same circle, wouldn't usually swipe on. And you can learn some good interpersonal skills. You know, a lot of people who are unsuccessful on apps could quite possibly go on less dates. So it's just the chance to just get used to talking and being in that environment, which is half the thing. I think a lot of people in their first dates won't represent who they really are because they're nervous. They haven't done it very much. And you know, often in the past where I've dated people, I've been on sort of dates 2 and 3, and each date kind of progressively gets better as you kind of, you know, that the dust settles and a bit of those nerves wear off. So we're trying to fast track a little bit of that by just putting you into a conversation, trying to help you have that conversation too.
Yeah, because it's 3 minutes. That's all it is. Whereas you can spend hours on dating apps, backwards and forwards conversation before you actually get to the point of talking on the phone or anything like that. And then there's, like you say, there's so much wasted time on these apps that just aren't working. And we have people come to us with exactly the same results, exactly the opening lines from these guys that are like cringeworthy because they're just so disgusting. And nobody would even say that to, they wouldn't want anyone saying it to their mother. So why are they saying it to other girls? Where you guys are kind of like going, right, we're going to cut all those people out because those people won't come on this because they've got 3 minutes and that's that. Where so you're creating this environment that's fun and exciting to date again and being on dating apps, dating this platform anyway, this new platform that you're creating. And do you know what? I want to thank you guys for it because I can see it skyrocketing. It just needs more people to sign up. So if you're listening and you're tired of the Tinder, you're tired of the Bumble, you're tired of Hinge, you're not getting anywhere, give Cameo a try. Yeah, thanks guys for creating this format because absolutely love it.
Pleasure. Yeah. Absolutely pleasure. And thanks for having us on and what you all will do. And I think the common thing with all of us here is we care about this and we believe in it. And we actually, you know, we're regular folk. We've done this as well. We understand what it's like. And at the end of the day, it's all about having a good time, having a bit of fun. And you never know. Yeah, maybe you meet someone that you really like. And that's, you know, it goes from there.
And it sounds like your listeners are exactly the type of people we want to help as well. So we kind of love what you're doing. And yeah, I've enjoyed coming on as well. And yeah, keep coming to the events. Hopefully we can find your partner. You never know.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Nothing else seems to be working. So fingers crossed. Thank you very much. So because it's just me and Liz, it's just our final thoughts. What we thought of the show, what we thought we spoke about, and what we'll take away from it. And also, we'll let you know what's happening in next week's show. So enjoy.
Okay, so Phil, final thoughts for today's episode. Go.
final thoughts for today's episode, this extra long episode that we just recorded. And I think that we need to stop taking Disney so seriously and thinking our prince is out there and they're just going to ride along on a horse and save the day and everything like that. No, no. Women, you are strong. Be like freaking Moana or Elsa and rule. Yeah?
You don't be your own hero.
Be your own king or queen before you meet a king or queen. You don't
need... You can put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I will. I will. That'll be merch soon. Don't worry. Liz, what about you?
I guess the thing that sticks with me is about when we're talking about toxic relationships or, you know, relationships that aren't working. My final thoughts are that you can't control how somebody else behaves, but you can control if you keep showing up for it.
Yeah. No,
that's it. On. That's all I got.
Yeah. That's fine. So, again, thank you everyone for listening. If you have a dating disaster, you know what to do by now. If you want something in the bin, drop us a message.
Yes.
And we have a phone number now. We have a phone number.
Hey, you're trying to give everyone your number. Keen.
Slide into my DMs, people.
Don't need to. You've literally just given them your number. You're like basically the guy walking around a bar chucking business cards at people. Like, call me. Hey, baby, call me.
I mean, why not? So if you have a dating disaster and you can't be bothered to email, just jump on WhatsApp. Or you can leave a voicemail because it's directed to voicemail. So don't try calling me and getting through to me because you won't get through to me. So, yeah. Cool. The number's on Instagram because I don't think you want to hear it.
No, and do you know it off by heart? But yeah, as always, we're really keen to hear your dating disasters or what you want to put in the 2020 bin to be gone forever. So please get in touch. We love hearing from you. Phil and I both absolutely live for the messages that we get in our DMs from listeners. So we love hearing from you guys. And if you've got any ideas about what you want to hear more of on the podcast or a topic that you would be interested in us covering, then please let us know.
Because next week, it's me and Liz again.
And we're
covering dating etiquette.
We are. What the hell do you do on a first date? What are the rules? How do you behave? What is
who
appropriate?
Pays?
Oh my God, don't get me started on who pays. You can look forward to another Liz rant.
Yes, yeah. I'll make sure.
I'll try and rein it in, guys. I do try. I'm sorry.
We love it. We love it. Everybody loves it. That's why they come back and listen to Liz rants.
Or maybe they just like skip that bit. I don't know.
They don't know where it is because we put it in random places all the time.
We should, you know, when people give like time markers in the show notes, it should be like Liz rant from 36 minutes to 49 minutes.
The rest of the show.
The entire rest of the episode. That's why it's so damn long.
But hope you've enjoyed this extra long episode because we've had a lot to talk about and maybe we shouldn't put so many topics in, but hey, we've got to cover everything, haven't we? Thank you again and we will speak to you next week. Bye.
And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, then you can do, whether that's to submit a dating disaster, ask a question, or ask for some advice. We're not that good at helping, but one of our guest experts will certainly be able to. So if you'd like to get in touch, head on over to our socials.
On Facebook and Instagram, it's at Unhinged and Bumbled Up.
On Twitter, it's at Bumbled Up.
Or by email, it's unhinged.and.bumbledup@gmail.com.
If you liked the episode, then please don't forget to like and share and click the follow button above.
We also now have a website, www.uabu.co.uk. See you all next week.